Go ahead and turn your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter number 3 this morning. Book of Genesis, chapter number 3. I hope you're enjoying the series on how Satan attacks the family. Well, I got to go to YouTube real quick and download another sermon because it doesn't sound like anybody's enjoying this series here. But I hope you're enjoying the series on this. It's been a tremendous blessing to me. Part 4 is what we're going to be going through today, and that is the attack on the family. Let's begin reading again verse number 1 through chapter number 13 of the book of Genesis of chapter number 3. And I got to say this. I know I get excited, and when I get excited, I begin to talk really fast. And I've had some people say, Chad, would you please slow down when you read Scripture because we're having a hard time. And I thought about being a smart aleck last week and saying, I thought about doing something like that, but I didn't want to get any grief. But out of all seriousness, I hope I'm reading slow enough for you guys to stay with me because that's important to me. So let's begin reading verse number 1. It says, Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of the tree of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the trees which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Why did they know that they were naked? Because Satan attacked the family that God put together. Verse number 8 says, And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. I'm going to stop here real quick. Why did they hide themselves from the presence of the Lord? Because Satan attacked the family. We've got to understand these things. Verse number 9, it says, And the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Three things took place here because of Satan attacking the family. What is that? He was afraid, found out that he was naked, and then once he found out he was naked, he did what? He hid himself. Folks, we cannot hide from God. No matter how much sin we commit in our life, we cannot hide from God. Verse number 11 says, And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Men, I'm going to stop here just real quick. Stop blaming your wife for your mistakes that you make in life. It didn't work for Adam, and it's not going to work for you. Verse number 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Ladies, do not put your mistakes upon your husband. Do not put your mistakes upon Satan himself. You're accountable for your own choices that you make in life. Amen? And we got to take accountability for what we do in our life. And this is a direct result of Satan attacking a family. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, again, we are grateful that we're able to be here this morning. God, I pray that you would use me to speak to your people. I know that we've been dealing with a subject that could be irritating to some. I know it could be offensive to some. But God, you've laid this upon my heart because I feel that I believe you did it for a reason, because we need to hear the importance of being on guard as Satan begins to attack our very family. Not just the family that we have been married into with our wife and our children, our husband, but God, the family of God as well. So I pray today that we would take the things that are said and apply it to our heart, apply it to our lives, that when we walk out here this morning, we can say, Glory to God, I can have victory in my life over this. We ask you these things in your name. Amen. So far, we have looked at six different ways on how Satan relentlessly attacks the family. Now more than ever, the family that God has put together is being torn apart. And he'll use anything and everything to get a family to be at odds with one another. The reason, because man has allowed the influence of the world to dictate how he is going to lead his family. Let me say this again because I believe it's important. Why does this take place? Because man has allowed the influence of the world, not the influence of God, not the influence of the Word of God, but the influence of the world, how to dictate how he is going to lead his family. Also, it seems that the lady of the house or the women of the house is doing more of the leading. And if this is true in your house, if you have a husband who has been saved and is supposed to lead your house and he's not leading your house and you're taking that responsibility, let me say this. Shame on you, husband, for allowing this to take place. This, ladies, I figured I would have had a lot of amens. This is your chance to say, amen, preacher. I fully agree with what you're saying. This happens because, I'm going to tell you why this happens. This is not going to be popular. This happens because the man hides behind the skirt of the woman. A good husband will seek counsel from his wife. I love my wife dearly. We've been together almost 28 years, and I will go to her for many things in life. I will ask her for direction in life. I will ask her for wisdom in some areas, but I will tell you this. God did not call her to lead my family. God called me. God put me in the place to lead my family and to present them holy before the Lord God. That is my job as the husband. Why do men lack the leadership that they need? Because too many of them have been raised to be a bunch of pansies. Chad, you're being kind of mean right off the bat. No, I'm just being honest with you. They have been raised to be a bunch of pansies. And because they've been raised to be pansies, here's what has taken place. Leadership is abandoned in the home, and Satan uses that to move in on the family, and then once he moves in on the family, he begins to attack. And he begins to attack the weaker vessels. The seventh way that Satan wants to attack the family is this, is to redirect the church away from evangelism. You guys know that evangelism is important to me, and I hope through that you're able to catch the vision. And it is important to you as well. So what he's trying to do in the family as he begins to attack it, he's trying to redirect the church. And I'm not just talking about the family that we go home to every day. I'm talking about the family that God has called us here today to serve one another and to go out into this world to give the gospel to the world that needs it. And so his attack is this. He'll redirect the church away from evangelism. He will do whatever he can to get us not to get the gospel to our neighbors and the nations around the world. Well, Chad, that's not true. We have many people doing that. Yes, we have many people, but ourselves. Folks, let's be honest. When was the last time that you and I got out of our house, got out of our comfort zone, and went over to our neighbors, and we knocked on their door, and we say, hello, it's good to see you. You guys know what I'm all about, but please forgive me. I failed to give you the message. I failed to give you the gospel. There's probably hardly any people on our block that know that we are believers. There's probably hardly any people that we live in the community that we live in know that we love Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Why does this happen? Because he's used something to redirect our way to evangelize to the world. He's getting our focus off of the world. So including this, he attacks our homes. And here's what happens when he begins to attack our homes. The pastor will begin to spend countless hours taking time away from the ministry. For what? To put out the fires that are in the home. This morning, we will deal with some areas that Satan uses to attack the family. Everything that takes place on earth that distracts us from distributing the gospel is purposely designed by the devil himself. Looking back on life, I can now see how Satan has used many of these things to his advantage. His tactics have not changed throughout the course of time. They have remained the same. But here's what has happened in the process. We as a church, we as a nation, have just become colder to the gospel because of the influences that we have allowed in our homes. Can I get an amen? The more we get involved, the colder we become. And then when the family splits, the church is the one that gets blamed. Why does the church get blamed? Because no one wants to take ownership in what they have done. Always wanting to cast somebody else and throw them under the bus and blame them for the problems that has been created in their life. It's not the church's fault. It's not anybody else's fault. It's mom and dad's. So the church becomes a blame, and because they want to blame the church, then they walk away from the church, resulting in giving Satan victory. I said earlier that it is purposely designed, and here is the reason for it. If the world can create distraction for a family that loves God, evangelizing the world gets put on the back burner. And I'm going to give you some situations of what has been a distraction in many of our lives. And I'm not here trying to offend people. I'm just here pointing out the truth. The more we get involved, the more time we spend away. The more time that we spend away, the more souls Satan can capture, the more souls that Satan can be an influence, the more souls that are drawn further away from God. Today's households are more oriented around sports than they are around the house of God. And please, before you start casting any stones at me, let me explain something here real quick. Because I know a lot of people think, well, Chad, you talk about this quite a bit. We know that you're against sports. No, I'm not against sports. I'm not against that at all. I spent almost 3 hours last night on the golf course with my wife. I'm not against sports. I'm against sports when I do horrible at it. But I'm not against sports. I love sports just like everyone else. But too often, parents are no longer making church a priority for their children. Practices and games are purposely scheduled on Sundays and Wednesdays. Some might not think that this is a big deal, but my friend, Satan is laughing his head off. There was never an issue of this when I was a child. But now more so than ever, the world is wanting to take our attention off God. He's creating and designing more tactics for us to fall into. He's setting those snares. He's setting those traps so that we fall into it and so that we spend more time away from God. We spend more time away from the house of God. And when we do those things, we're spending more time evangelizing, less time evangelizing to the world that needs to be evangelized to. So he knows the more time that is spent away, the less soul winning we will do. The more we allow on our schedule, the opportunities that you have to pray, the opportunities that you have to read the Bible as a family dwindles down because of your schedule being so full and all those things. And here's what takes place. When you have a lack of a good prayer life, when you have a lack of a good Bible reading schedule, here's what takes place. Spiritual discernment goes down the toilet. If church evangelism is lost, Satan has won. And here is the sad fact. We are the ones who gave him the victory, and shame on us. Not only will evangelism stop in our communities if we are to give in to these things, but the vision for other nations will suffer. Imagine the 50-plus missionaries that we have in this church that we are able to send to foreign lands because of a love that we have to give the gospel. the less time that we spend away, the more time that we spend towards the world, the less time that we spend in giving, more souls will go to hell. So it'll stop in our communities, and the visions for other nations will suffer. Why? Because we won't be able to support the missionaries that are on the field right now. Next, the missionaries will have to do this. Because of a lack of financial support, because church is no longer important, because a redirection of evangelism has taken place in the church, because there's hardly anybody going anymore, because of other activities and other priorities that have come in our life, now the missionaries that have been on the fields trying to reach these people for 10, 15, 20 plus, maybe 30 years, now have to pack up their bags, and now they have to come home because they've lost the support. If we think that this cannot happen here, then we have become foolish. By the way, folks, I will say this right now. It has not happened in our church where the gospel is not going to other nations, but it's happening in our communities. It's happening here where we live in Council Bluffs, Iowa. 70,000 plus people in this town ought to know that Open Door Baptist Church exists. 70,000 plus people ought to know that Open Door Baptist Church has a desire to see people come to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. 70,000 plus people should already have the gospel in their hands from this church. Folks, why has that not taken place? Because Satan's been behind the scenes, distracting us, redirecting our evangelistic outreach. And that's not good. But there's good news. We can get right back into it. I mean, we can. Yeah, we can. 10:30 Saturday. That was a good promotion, wasn't it, Kurt? It's not just done with sports. And I know I hammered on that for a little bit. But we also have social media. Devices that will distract us as well. Do you know most young people have no idea how to communicate in public? You know, that's almost true with adults nowadays. Because they only know how to interact through texting or Snapchat. They don't know how to interact towards any other way. Madison, you're right here. Can I tell you something? I'd rather talk to people face to face. And I know you're looking at me and say, Uncle Chad, I know you don't like to talk. True on occasions. But I'd rather have a face-to-face talk. You know why? Because when you say something in a text message, I can totally take out of context. Get an amen from you. But we don't know how to interact. I'm going somewhere with this, so please be patient with me. Even marriages are destroyed because of these devices. I told you Satan's trying to redirect church evangelism. Why are marriages destroyed because of these devices? Because many spend way too much time on them. So we forget to how to even talk to our spouse, and we forget to talk to our kids. You know, I've been in restaurants here lately. I shouldn't just say lately. I've in the past as well, I've been in restaurants where I'll see family members just sitting at a table. And you know what's taking place at that table? No conversations between a group of four or five people. What is taking place? Every single one of them has a device in their hand, and they're communicating with people not even in the room, and people are being ignored. And we wonder why moms and dads don't have the relationships anymore. We wonder why kids don't have a relationship with their parents no more, because our vision is being redirected, all designed by Satan. You know, it even takes place in our church. We have cell phones, and I'm not against cell phones. As a matter of fact, I have a device here. But even in church, people are going through their phones. They're searching Facebook. They're searching Instagram. They're searching about searching some things on Amazon because something came to their mind. Hey, I got to purchase this right now. And so they take their focus off of the message. They have no idea what's being said because these devices have become way too handy for us. Thus, we put down the Word of God and we lose focus and we wonder why evangelism is being redirected. The eighth way Satan begins to attack is this. He finds a way to hinder our prayer life. I'm going to say this once, and I'm going to say it a little bit later on. A family that prays together stays together. Exactly. So Satan, as he begins to try to attack our family, here's what he'll do. He'll distract us even more with these devices, and as that distraction comes in play, our prayer life is going to hinder. Peter warned us that an unhealthy marriages block our prayer channel, and that is found in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7. Let's read this. 1 Peter chapter number 3. I wasn't intending to turn here this morning, but I'm going to turn there. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy. I'm sorry, 1 Peter. I was in Timothy this morning. That's why I got confused. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7. I'm glad my ears can still hear people talk. But it says this in verse number 7. It says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be what? Be not hindered." Satan will always aim to rob us of our power by weakening our prayer life. Let me say it again if you want to write this down. Satan will always aim to rob us of our power by weakening our prayer life. It is probably safe to say that all of us here today has a prayer life that needs to be changed for the good. Not just when it comes to private prayer, but corporate prayer as well. Prayer for most people is only used only when it seems to be necessary for the individual at that point in time. For instance, I'll give you a few examples. It's only important and necessary when it comes to an illness. "Oh Lord, this is me, it's Chad, you remember me? I'm feeling kind of ill today. Could you please bring healing to my body?" Or we'll use another instance, and that is in the death of a family member. "God, it's me again. I haven't spoken to you for so long because it really hasn't been convenient, and it really wasn't necessary at this point in time in my life. But God, now I seem it's convenient now because I just lost a loved one, so it's necessary for me to come to you. And so God, you know what we're going through in our family. Could you please spare us some grace? Could you please give us some mercy?" Let me ask you a question. Why does God have to answer that prayer? When we've been so willing to be apart from Him for so long. So we use it when it's necessary for illness or death. Or we might use it when our job is on the line. We'll say, "Okay, God, hey, it's me again. I haven't talked to you in about 6 months. It's been 6 months since my family member died. It's been about another 8 months since I was extremely sick. So some more time's gone on, God. But God, the great thing about this is the third time this year. I believe we're growing closer, God. But God, you know my job's on the line. If I don't have my job, then I'm not going to be able to pay my bills. If I can't pay my bills, then the house is going to be foreclosed on, and then we're going to have to live out on the streets. So God, I really need you in this time of my life. Could you please do a work?" I'm building this up for this reason. Because we treat God as if He is living in a lamp. And we carry that lamp around when it's ever necessary for us to use it. And so this lamp is never being used. It's constantly closed. We go about our life, 4 months, 5 months, 8 months, 12 months, however long you want to put it. And then when time is necessary for our prayer life to finally get spiritual with God, here's what we do. We rub the bottle. And poof, we automatically think that God's got to appear. And we automatically think that God's got to do a work in our life. God does not work that way. Can I encourage you to do something? Don't treat God as if he's a genie in a bottle. But that's what we do. We go around every 3 or 4 months and we just, okay, God, I need you to work. And so we rub it. And we think God's going to come out, okay, I'm going to grant you 3 wishes this year. God doesn't work that way. Isaac, can I tell you something? God wants a relationship with you. He doesn't want you carrying this bottle around and calling upon him only when you seem it's necessary. Here's what God wants you to do. God wants you to hide this word in your heart. That's what he's desiring. But we don't hide God's word in our heart. Why? Because Satan's redirecting on how we're doing things. And we're falling for his traps. He's setting us up and we're falling into these things. But Satan will rob us of our power by weakening our prayer life. Prayer for most people is only used when it seems necessary. And we got to stop treating God as if he lives in a lamp. Not only is it important for a family to be praying together, but it's also important for the family of God to be praying together. There is a bond that is created through this process. You know, I grew up with a father who enjoyed doing some activities outside of pastoring. And some of you folks don't know this. He enjoyed going fishing. He enjoyed going hunting on occasions. Those things that he would do. Pastor was also a very good swimmer. He loved swimming. For many years, he used to go down to the Y and swim laps back and forth. He's like a fish in the water. But I remember on many occasions, Jeff and I and the other two boys would... Did you girls ever go with us fishing? Not fishing. But I just remember going off and going fishing. There's just this bond that takes place between a father and a son as they're sitting on the bank, casting out the line. And I'll never forget those times. I say this for this reason. There is a bond that takes place when two or three people sit down corporately and begin to share what's on their heart and begin to give it to God. And now I know their heartbeat just a little bit. Now I know how they feel about some things spiritually. And now I know how they want God to work in their life. And now I'm able to take that and I'm able to pray for them throughout the week because I know what's important to them. There is this bond that is created that we all should be experiencing. And I know the people I surround myself with in prayer, they are the ones that have my back. God has been dealing with me on this matter when it comes to this church. And soon there's going to be a slight change on Wednesday nights. And now I know I said change, and it's got you people scared. Some of you are saying, Chad, you were just voted in here. You shouldn't be making any changes within the first year. All I'm doing, folks, is building off the foundation that Pastor Springer gave us. All I'm doing is taking those ingredients that he left behind. Can I share with you what's going to take place on Wednesday nights? 2 weeks, September 7th, I believe that's when we're going to meet back together back in here on Wednesday nights. We got 2 more weeks of the children's ministry out in the gymnasium, which, by the way, has been going very well. And I appreciate the people who have been involved. I appreciate the moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas that are bringing their young people to the church on Wednesday nights. But in 2 weeks, we're going to start back up once again, back in here, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to meet in here like we used to. We're going to sing some songs. Jeff, you're going to have to go back to work. You're going to have to get back in your songbook and look through the songs that we're going to have to sing that night. And here's what's going to take place after we sing the songs. We're going to have a quick devotion. Nothing long, maybe 10 minutes, maybe 5 at times. Then we're going to dismiss. The women are going to be up here, and the men are going to go downstairs. And we're going to meet in prayer. And we're going to be very specific on what we're praying for. And I'm looking forward to that opportunity. Why? because we're going to see a bond that's going to take place. We're going to see each other feeling the same heartbeat. We're going to see people wanting to pray and have things answered in your life. And it's going to create something special. You know what else is going to take place after that? You might not see it right away, but now, because of that bond, more people are going to have your back. I'm looking forward to that opportunity. God's going to do a tremendous, tremendous work. So thankful that he has laid that upon my heart. The church isn't just focused on evangelizing, but is also focused on establishing a better prayer life. If the prayer life of the church is weak, then evangelizing will be weak as well. Satan would love to get Open Door Baptist Church to no longer being a church that is seeking God's will. As I said earlier, a family that prays together stays together. I would love for every member of this church to be praying together, but that isn't going to be done through us staying at home. It will only happen when we say, okay, God, let your will be done in my life. You know, I've really stopped promoting prayer time on Sunday nights at 5:15. I've done that for a reason, because I don't want to force anything upon anybody. I have looked back at the church the last few months. We have suffered the loss of our founding pastor. My mom has suffered the loss of her husband. My siblings have suffered the loss of their father. But yet, we continue to go forth. Why? Because Open Door Baptist Church has had our backs through the avenue of prayer. I was talking to somebody this week who's called, and they checked up on me, and they say, Chad, how are you getting through this? I said this: God has given me the strength that I cannot even imagine. God has given me the grace and the mercy and the peace that I did not know existed. I knew about it, I've read about it, but I did not know it could exist for me. And that has happened because people praying. Here at our time at our church, we should be mourning, but we are excited for what lies ahead, because many have taken the time to be prayer partners. We can't get comfortable because Satan is out to attack, and he desires to hinder our prayer life. So what about you, Christian? Has Satan hindered your life? Has he crept into your home? And in the process, has he begun to ruin relationships? Here is what we normally do when that happens. Well, everything's going to heck because it's the pastor's fault. He wasn't there for me. Everything's going downhill because it's other believers who are not being there for me. Because we fail to take responsibility for our own actions. I'm going to close with this. Stop blaming others and recognize you are the one who has let Satan to reside in your life. How can we conquer this? By getting back to being on guard in your home. And let your prayer life prosper once again. I remember back when 9/11 happened. I believe this is the 21st year that is coming upon, maybe 22. I remember when this happened. I'll never forget, turn on the television. A Congress and a Senate who normally has nothing good to say about God, who normally makes fun of us Christians for putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You know what they did on the steps of the Senate that day? They all walked outside, they sang a song, "To God be the glory," and then they prayed. They realized at that point in time that's what our country was founded on. Our country was founded on the Word of God, and it was founded upon men praying to God. God richly blessed our country back in the early days. And I will say this, even though it doesn't seem like God's blessing our country, he is. But I know this, God can be doing so much more if we were to take the time to pray. There are so many things that are happening in this church that I'm excited for, but God could be doing so much more if we were to get down on our hands and knees and seek an almighty God to do a work in the life, not only in this church, but in the life of individuals. You know, there's people here that's probably never accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. We automatically assume that because we walk through these doors that everybody's saved. That's not the truth. I don't know who they are. It's not important for me to know who they are. But God knows who they are. But guess what we need to be doing? We need to be praying. We need to be praying. Do not let Satan hinder your prayer life. Do not let Satan redirect the way that God wants us to evangelize. Satan is on the attack. He's pursuing every single one of us. And he wants to destroy what God has put together. You know why I'm so heavy about this right now? Because God created the family first, before the church. And once Satan can get in and ruin the family, guess what will no longer exist? The church. We meet in this building called the church, but that's not the church. Who is? We are. And if we allow Satan to attack and to destroy, then shame on us. Which is why I say, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer. We'll have an invitation. If God has spoken to your heart in any particular way, for salvation, church membership, or maybe you just need to get back and give your heart back to God. I have no idea how God has spoken to you. But I'm going to urge you to take this time to do what is necessary. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. I pray that you would lead in this invitation for these next few moments. We ask you to do the work that is necessary. In your name, amen.